This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's Major News with Major Garrett. Our weekly conversation with CBS's chief Washington correspondent.
Chris and Amy on 104.1 FM KMOX. And it is time to go to the guest line today, the chief Washington correspondent for CBS News and host of America Decides on CBS News 24/7. We've got Major Garrett with us on this Thursday. Major, what's happening?
How are you? How is everybody?
We're doing okay. I guess we are all very excited about the Gulf of America now being codified. We saw the vote in the House today that Marjorie Taylor Greene's bill has been approved.
Okay. Well, I mean, that is a process. I'm not sure it's the highest priority for America, but it's a priority for her. The president signed an executive order to that effect. If you're going to make this real, meaning lasting beyond an administration, you need an act of Congress. We'll see what the Senate does. We'll see where this goes. But this is where we are.
Yes.
We're actually not there, but because it's still, for the rest of the world, the Gulf of Mexico. The Gulf of Mexico, as we all know, we've come to know, predated the creation of our country. But this is something that is part of our times. And we can just sigh about that and contemplate.
Yeah, well. Hey, Major, I've got a couple of big picture questions for you regarding the state of our times. Much has been made of the Trump interview when he talks about families and their beautiful little girls can have 3, 4, or 5 dolls instead of 30 dolls. And much was made of that. Or, you know, they don't need 250 pencils, talking about the price of things. But in all seriousness, who is he talking to with that statement? Because what about the families who don't have 30 dolls? They're buying 1 or 2 dolls and now can't buy any. I feel like his statement was directed to a certain group of people, and it's not the average American.
Right. It's interesting. I don't know when it happened, but in this particular conversation in context, President Trump has turned into a granola buying leftist. Okay? Here's what I mean. I grew up in Southern California through the 60s, 70s, and early 80s, in which there was a tremendous conversation about the necessity of America to move away from consumerism, to buy fewer things, have fewer things. Don't give your children so many things. And whatever things you get them, the few that they are, make sure they're locally sourced, produced in this country. It was not conservative Republicans who were saying this, I want you to understand. It was what was regarded at the time by conservative Republicans as granola buying leftists, socialists, people who wanted to create communes, people who were neo-communists. All this idea about the dangers of over-consumerism were spoken of when I was growing up by people who were commonly described as leftists, socialists, commune-loving communists. And there's a part of what Trump is talking about that is sort of oriented in that direction, though I don't think he understands that or recognizes that or maybe even agrees with it. But to your other point, because it's a two-part question, I think, I've given you my take on the first part of it, the 30 to 2 or 3 ratio. But if you're an American with a young child or two children, you're not buying any of them 30. You may buy them whatever you can buy them. And if they're not made where they're currently made and brought here, you're not going to be able to buy even one of them because the prices will simply be too high. Way too high. And the last point I would make about this. So it's kind of insulting to people who do live genuinely paycheck to paycheck and want to provide something of joy and happiness to their children. The last point I would say is anyone who's seen Mar-a-Lago or Trump Tower apartment that President Trump occupies would have a hard time believing he's ever made an austere choice in his life.
Yes. And Major, just to what you said about the origins of some of the language that he's using, you could isolate some of his quotes from that interview and ask someone who said it, Trump or Bernie Sanders. Like some of it
right.
sounded like Bernie Sanders, to be honest. If you transcribe that interview, parts of it
yes.
sounded like Bernie.
Or Karl Marx.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, a more modern day Karl Marx, you know, he'd have to improve the language and the diction and, you know, all that other stuff. But seriously, I'm not kidding.
No, Well, and to that point, Major, as we look at this rise of populism and we look at the language that Trump is using, and I know it's definitely confusing right now, it's most certainly not conservative. I heard some political pundits were, and philosophers were talking about the rise of populism and anti-elitism and how it was really spurred on even from like the Bush administration and the Iraqi war and everything that went down with that and the war in Afghanistan and the failures and the lies and so forth, and how that turned people away from classic republicanism. Do you see it that way? Do you see that timeline?
Well, those are certainly influential factors, no question. Iraq is for the post 9/11 generation, the post Vietnam syndrome generation, a kind of example of theoretically smart people, because I remember, because I covered it, the formation of the George W. Bush National Security Foreign Policy Team as being sort of regarded as this kind of all-star team in much the same way that President Kennedy's team of advisors was regarded as the best and the brightest and an all-star team. And though Vietnam was much more ruinous in terms of duration, cost of treasure, cost of life and injuries and death than the Iraq War, both were stupendously wrong choices for the country at the time. And both left the country feeling not only deflated, but demoralized about relying on leaders to make tough decisions for the best future of the country. That's certainly part of it. There's no question about that. Populism, though, I really do think we are stretching the understood definition of populism to apply all of it to Trump, because there's nothing populist about the orientation of this particular tax bill at the top end. It's still very straight line Republican. The wealthy people keep all their wealth. You don't tax the things that they make in either income at any particularly high level, and you certainly don't tax their investments or their accrued savings and real estate holdings, none of which are taxed until they're in a transaction. I mean, there are ways to get to that money that are very populist that Republicans simply will not touch and have no intention of touching. And there's really not very much populist about going about Medicaid or food stamps necessarily, especially when many of those programs in the last 20 years have found their ways in statistically higher numbers by population and by ratio of population within states into quote-unquote Trump populist states. So it's all very confused right now. It's very hard to come up with apt terminology. Trump breaks a lot of norms, and one of the norms he breaks is all the understood terminology we have about political movements in this country.
Major, what do we know about the trade deal that was been that is being or has been worked out with the United Kingdom?
Oh, no.
Wow. I didn't know it was going to be funny.
Come on.
This is like brushing your teeth. Okay? This is simpler than brushing your teeth or making yourself a cup of tea. Okay? We trade $148 billion with Great Britain. We run a $20 billion trade surplus, which apparently means, according to the President of the United States, we've been ripping Great Britain off for a long time. So I hope economic justice will be returned to the realm via this trade deal. I mean, for God's sake, they are, not only do we have a special relationship, there is not one thing commercially between our countries that's a hassle. I don't know why this took even 1 hour, let alone 3 or 4 weeks. The markets are not impressed by this. This is the simplest tap-in putt on any golf. It's a tap-in putt on a miniature golf course, okay?
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
This ought to impress no one under no set of circumstances. And if it's followed up by South Korea, I will remind everyone, we already have a free trade agreement with South Korea. That's where we are. None of the hard stuff is being done yet, folks. It may get done. I'm not saying it won't. This is not one of them.
Well
okay.
speaking of things getting done, and I know you are a connoisseur of American history. You know this. So we keep talking about the first 100 days, and that has been in relation to regarding Trump's record-setting number of executive orders. But the original phrase, the first 100 days, was that not, or at least popularized, with FDR, and it was not his executive orders, but what legislation he could push through Congress?
Yeah, so if you had seen my show, America Decides, on the 100th day, I opened it saying, let me tell you something that I know that you probably suspect. This 100-day thing is completely phony. It's applied one time in American history and one time only, and that's FDR. That's the only time it has at any relevance at all. It was never spoken of before FDR's presidency, and it's had no true relevance since. When FDR took over, the banks were on the verge of collapsing. He called Congress back into emergency session, because Congress didn't meet back in those days at the time of the inauguration, March, called them back into emergency session. The original idea was just to have them pass bank legislation, then send them back. But then once they passed the bank legislation, they said, you know, they're here. We've got this agenda. Let's go. 77 laws. Let me repeat that. 77 laws were passed and signed in the first 100 days of FDR's presidency, in addition to 99 executive orders. There is no accumulation of legislation and executive orders that matches that or ever will match that. Why? Because the crisis was the crisis of our country's history, setting aside the Civil War. Unemployment was 25% when FDR became president of the United States in 1933. And it required a lot of activity, and a lot of activity came in those 100 days. It's the only time it's mattered, and every other media-obsessed assessment of 100 days since has been pretty much phony.
Major Garrett, is there anything you would like to share with us? Anything else? Anything? And you can, it can be about something you're doing or just something that's on your chest and you'd like to get it off, because it, I feel like...
Next week.
Okay.
Next week.
All right.
This is so much suspense.
But I will say, if you watch my show, you'll get the honesty for me to say this 100 days thing is phony.
Okay.
You don't get that many other places. You'll get it with me. I'll tell you the truth.
That's why we love you.
It's one of the many reasons we love you.
Yeah, there are lots of them. Major.
I love you more.
And you love us?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yes. Right back at you.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
What you said. Yes.
Hey, we'll talk to you next week. And we hope
I will have so much to say next week.
I want you to have a great day today.
Yes.
You too.
God willing, Major.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Major Garrett, Chief Washington Correspondent, CBS News.